The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Time to play the game.
Let's get right into it, shall we? 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Yes, it's time to play the game. And yes, today, another chance for you to score from our friends at M. Lilly. More on that to come, but right now, you got to know we're playing Who Am I? First two callers right now at 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. You get your chance to play the game, and M. Lilly is giving you that opportunity to score the Harmony Pillow. Look, we were just getting photos over the weekend about the comfort that the Harmony Pillow provides for the power hour naps, the extended afternoon lounge sessions on the couch, and even your long night, long overdue sleep schedules. Look, a lot of you out there are probably not comfortable on your mattress, on your sheets, or on your pillow. We can take care of one of those issues with the most comfortable pillow on the market right now, the Harmony Pillow from M. Lilly. Kaner, first two callers. Who are those callers? I'm being told one just dropped. Thank you. I appreciate it. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Just to clue you in on where we're going to be going with the topics today, usually when the wheel lands on Who Am I, we have usually a theme, or usually there's some kind of reason why we tie it together. For us, or at least for me, better said, I'm going to go current events. Did you watch the Sunday Night Football game last night? Because Tyler Lockett had a 200-yard receiving game. He was an absolute monster and maybe saved you in your fantasy weekend. I know he did for me. I was in a league where all my players top to bottom were struggling, and single-handedly behind Justin Herbert and Tyler Lockett, I survived my matchup. Kaner, did we get that second caller? Excellent. Who are they?
So we got Josh and Jason.
Josh? Jason, I want to bring Josh in first. Josh, good morning. You get to choose. Do you want your clues from me or from Eric Kane? Think about it.
I'll take them from you.
All right. Kaner, hold tight. You and Jason are going to go next. Josh, I just gave you a clue of where I'm going with mine. This is going to be current events, and my player, he might have something in common with Tyler Lockett, and that is receiving 200 yards in a single NFL game, okay? Clue number one, I was born June 6th, 1992 in South Carolina. So he's currently 28 years of age. Do you know somebody who's probably 28 and could have possibly had a 200-yard receiving game in the National Football League?
Hopkins.
You've got to be kidding me. I didn't even get into the rest of his clues. DeAndre Hopkins is your correct answer. Wow.
Sweet.
Well, there's that. There is that. Josh, hold tight. Kaner, you and Jason have got yourself a heck of a workload cut out for you. Go ahead. What do you got, Kaner?
All right, Jason, we'll just try it for giggles here. Clue number one. Well, first of all, this is NFL quarterbacks. NFL quarterbacks, that is the topic. Clue number one. I was the 11th overall pick in the 04 draft out of Miami of Ohio.
Kaner, are you kidding me?
Jason, you with us here?
Jason, do you know anybody who was a top pick for Miami of Ohio?
Yeah, top pick for Miami of Ohio.
Goodness gracious.
You want to throw out a guess? Just throw out a guess.
3 seconds.
Three,
2 seconds.
Two. All right. Well, we'll just keep going just to play. I'm a 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl champion, and the 04 Rookie of the Year. We'll move along. Clue number three. I missed most of last year with an elbow injury.
So pretty Carson much, Wentz.
Nah, not Carson Wentz. That's a good answer, though, because he's always missing time. Here's where you're going to get it. They get really easy here at 4 and 5. My nickname is Big Ben.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger.
There you go. And then clue number five was out in the quarterback to beat the Tennessee Titans yesterday. But, Jason, we were done for the beginning. That means Josh gets the win today.
I didn't even get into his all-pro numbers. I didn't even get into his nickname. I didn't even give. Hey, give Josh his winning music. Josh deserves his winning music, especially if you get one clue. It's crazy about this. I literally just had somebody yesterday yesterday during NFL Sunday turn to me and go, hey, I love the game. I love when you do the game every day. Have you ever had somebody get it on your first clue? Because it nearly seems impossible. And I said a few, but it doesn't happen that often. And like, if you wait less than 18 hours, Josh is going to get it off the first clue.
And I feel bad for Jason because normally it's my fault when the guy loses that picks me or doesn't pick me, ends up with me. Let's be real. But this time it was just all Josh. Josh got on the first try.
Time out. You better be absolutely had tomatoes thrown at you on Twitter this morning because your first clue was very much on par with what I do. Like, you reverse, Tyler, like if you're allowed to reverse Ivan Tyler, somebody, you just got poisoned by me and just canered somebody.
The casual football fan, not you, nerd, the casual football fan would not know Ben Roethlisberger came from Miami, Ohio. They just wouldn't know. I mean, honestly,
they just would not know. I know, I'm going to stop you right there. You honestly believe that?
100%. The casual honestly believe football that. Fan.
You don't think I could hit the streets right now? Downtown, Friday night, Market Square's packed.
If you pull, 10 people less than...
I guarantee you I'd get at least 50%.
No, maybe one or two.
I don't know how we could pull this off. I can almost guarantee you... I could walk up to 10 random people and ask them, hey, man, not to bother you, can you tell me where the movie theater is? Cool. Oh, and before I walk away, you wouldn't happen to know what college Ben Roethlisberger attended, did you? And I guarantee you 5 of the 10 people would be like, yeah, he went to Miami of Ohio to Oxford.
In East Tennessee, you are on crack right now if you think that if you went up to 10 random people and said, hey, do you know where Ben Roethlisberger went to college? They'd tell you, yeah,
I could get 5
maybe
people to say where he
went. Two's a stretch, Tyler. The casual football fan doesn't even know that.
You can defend yourself all you want.
If we got into clues 4 and 5, then absolutely you can say those were way too easy. But 1s, 2s, and 3s, not so much.
If I didn't want to get into Jeremy Pruitt's comments about widening the gap closing between Tennessee and Alabama, I guarantee you the calls would just Christmas tree light up right now.
What else? Twitter, let us know.
You're an intelligent man. You've got multiple degrees. You are a hard worker. I could keep giving you positive plugs for the rest of this show. You are 100% dead wrong on this.
No, I'm not.
656-9900. I want to talk Pruitt. I want to talk Bama, Tennessee. Star pitch cut, get into it. And my private text line right now is just absolutely murdering
you. Yeah, all your friends are sports nerds, too. They don't count.
He's 26 years old. Okay, leave him alone. He's still got plenty of life to live.
Your friends are nerds too. They don't count.
Nerd club can tell you where he went to school. So does every other person in the universe knows where Big Ben went to school. 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Now, the new AP Top 25 College Football poll was released yesterday. A few shakeups inside the top 10. Following Clemson, Alabama up top, Ohio State jumped 2 spots to number 3, Notre Dame, Georgia each slipped to 4 and 5. From there, it's Oklahoma State at number 6, Cincinnati at 7, followed by Texas A&M, Wisconsin, and Florida rounding out the top 10. The Dodgers held off the Rays 4-2 in Game 5 of the Fall Classic to take a 3-2 series lead. Clayton Kershaw picked up his second win in the series, allowing 2 runs through 5 2/3 innings. LA can clinch the World Series title with one more win. Game 6 is Tuesday night at 8 Eastern. The Tennessee Titans trailed by 20 points in the second half. Nearly came all the way back, but the Steelers held on to move to 6-0, 27-24 win over the Titans. The Cardinals outlasted the Seahawks in overtime last night, 37-34. Other scores, Saints got by the Panthers, 27-24. VFL rookie Marquez Callaway led the team with 8 receptions, 75 yards. Cowboys embarrassed by the Washington football team, 25-3. The Bucs beat down the Raiders, 45-20. The Chiefs demolished the Broncos, 43-16. 49ers drilled the Patriots, 33-6. Packers bounced back with a 35-20 win over the Texans. The Bills escaped the Jets, 18-10. The Browns outlasted the Bengals, 37-34. Lions squeaked past the Falcons, 23-22. And the Chargers defeated the Jaguars, 39-29. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next.
He's been known to give a best man speech even when he wasn't invited to the wedding. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
71% of the vote just out of the gate. Be honest, do you know where Big Ben went to school? 75% now says everyone knows that. Eric Kane believes you don't know where Ben Roethlisberger attended school.
The question is, the casual football fan would not know where Ben Roethlisberger went to school. I've had four people DM me and three people tweet me and say, I'm an above average casual football fan or above average football fan, and I had no clue he went to school there, or I forgot. So
Daniel on Twitter says, what is this guy talking about? Miami of Ohio, could you make it any easier?
Well, again, that looks like he's an above average football fan, so there you go.
So now what you're doing is you're cornering yourself so you can hand out double compliments. Either you gain the attendance on your side backing you, or you're complimenting somebody like congrats.
So for those of you
nicely
guys that
done,
know
that, Kaner.
Good job.
Nicely done, Kaner.
Thank you.
Nicely done. I didn't know your game until we got in the game, and you've got me beat on the game. You're making people look smart, and you're gaining listeners and followers all at the same time. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. As much as I'd love to keep talking about Ben Roethlisberger's time at Miami of Ohio, Oxford, which, by the way, if you've never been to Oxford and been to the campus at Miami of Ohio, it is very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And I'm not just talking about the grounds and the landscaping. Kaner, Jeremy Pruitt, postgame of that 48-17 loss at the hands of Alabama. He said that the gap starting to get tighter, closer, paraphrasing there, when it comes to the rivalry between the Tide and the Vols. I want to discuss this, but first, hear it from yourself. This is Jeremy Pruitt, postgame, after another loss to the Crimson Tide.
And I can assure you that the gap is closing. It might not show on the scoreboard today, but the gap is closing. I can assure you that. That's one thing that's frustrating to me, and it's frustrating to our players, okay, is there's times that we've done some really good things, but as a team, whether it's, you know, offense playing really good and the defense playing really good and special teams, we've not put any of that together. And that's what the elite teams in our program and in our conference, that's what they do. Okay. They don't have many bad plays. They don't make many mistakes. They make the other team beat them. There's times that we've done that this year, but we've not done it for a whole game, even for the games we've won. Right? We've not done that.
So Jeremy Pruitt, he believes that the gap is starting to now close between Alabama and the Volunteers. Kaner, this can be discussed two different ways, or there are two ways we can approach this. One, just based on people who view the football, follow the football, and simply hear him say the gap is closing. You simply look at the scoreboard since Jeremy Pruitt's been here year three. You look at the total margin of victory for Bama over the Vols, and you just go, this guy's crazy. There's no way it's getting closer. I don't know what he's looking at. Or you can look at it a second way, which I hope a lot of people are looking at it, and say, where was the state of the Tennessee program in 2018, and where was the state of the program of University of Alabama? Where are those programs now, Tennessee in 2020, Alabama in 2020? And when you look at recruiting, just the type of football player, the talent of the football player coming to Knoxville, and the talent of the football player recruited and attending Tuscaloosa, Alabama, from that standpoint, I would agree with Jeremy Pruitt that you are starting to see things at least close in a little bit tighter in the Tennessee-Alabama category. But to a lot of those fans, the casual fans, we'll bring that up now for the second time in 14 minutes, perhaps maybe they just look simply at wins and losses and they would not agree with Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, and you can understand that for sure, because again, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and he's 500 so far through 30 games, being Tennessee's head coach now in year number three. But you have not come close, not even come close to knocking off your main players in the SEC, your main rivals if you're Tennessee, the Floridas, the Georgias, the Alabamas. And so at the end of the day, it's about win-losses. And so I completely get that and the frustrations. If you want to take it a little deeper, I mean, of course this team has improved. When Jeremy Pruitt took over in 2017, keep in mind Tennessee was playing a walk-on tight end at right tackle for a little bit during the end of that 2017 season. I mean, the depth of the offensive line, really of the entire team, but of the offensive line, was abysmal. The quality of players was just not that very good there the 2017 season. So what Jeremy Pruitt has done from a roster standpoint, creating depth, creating options, increasing just the overall quality of player, I would agree with him. I mean, it has improved in that nature. But again, And again, last year you start winning the games you're supposed to win. The Georgia's, the floor, or the the Missouri's, the Vanderbilt's, the Kentucky's. You dropped that one this year, but at the end of the day, it's you know, being competitive against your rivals, and you're just not there yet at all. Not only are you not winning those games, you're not competitive. You're just not. And so I think that is where the frustration comes from. That's when you got to sit there and look and say, okay, this is year three. Why is it this program further along than what it should be? And I think that's the question a lot of fans are asking right now.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Terrence had a call into us at the end of hour number two, and just because we were pressed up against it, we didn't have an opportunity to really dive into a lot of those comments. I didn't believe the secondary, which at the beginning of the season, Eric, I thought for sure the secondary would be the strongest part of this defense, has played the strongest game. Now, I was going to be alarmed at how Tennessee played this game, because you and I both know, and we didn't have to even watch a game. We didn't have to be at the stadium. We knew Tennessee was going to play man-to-man defense against these Alabama wide receivers. And based on the way that the Alabama wide receivers had played through the season up to that game, you knew that they were going to burn a lot of these showdowns with, if you see Alante Taylor play, or Bryce Thompson, or whoever, Kenneth George Jr., whoever was going to be on the field going man-to-man. You lose Jalen Waddle on the opening kickoff, now out for the year with that broken ankle, and still, you still see a lot of the man-to-man. Kaner, I was not happy with how the secondary performed. And 1 week to that comment, 1 week after Jeremy Pruitt said, we need more people who stay in the facility watching countless hours of film like Henry To'oto'o. Everybody's allowed to have a bad game, so please hear me. But for a guy who is just as efficient as Henry T is, a guy who is clearly going to be the defensive leader this year and next year and for the length of his tenure in Knoxville, Henry To'oto'o did not have the most bang-up game that he's going to put on film. There were a lot of struggles there, not just from the secondary, but if there was a chance to hit reset like a Nintendo game, Henry T, I think he wished he had those four quarters back.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, everyone's, you know, people have bad games, and Saturday was, I mean, it was a bad game for Henry T. I mean, no way to spend it. He's a great player. He is a really good player, and he's done a lot of great things since being at Tennessee, and he will continue to do great things. But Saturday was one to forget for Henry T, like, you know, the most of the players out there. But in terms of the secondary, you're right. I mean, Tennessee tried to play man-to-man. That's trademark for Pruitt. That's trademark for Ansley. They did mix in a little bit of zone as well, but it didn't matter. Anything that they threw at that Alabama receiving corps, even without Jalen Waddle, it just wasn't working. You saw guys just trailing, running for their lives. So much separation from the receivers from Alabama compared to what Tennessee was doing. The only one, you know, the only receiver that created separation for Tennessee was Josh Palmer on his one touchdown grab, and of course Jalen, Jalen Hyatt. And so, you knew it was going to be a challenge. I mean, you know, point blank, you knew it was going to be a challenge. This Alabama offense is at a record-setting pace. They've got so many bullets in that chamber, and you take out one of the best ones in Jalen Waddle, they still have so many others there to make plays. So you knew it was going to be a challenge. I think it's just a little disheartening, a little disappointing just to know how easy it was for Alabama. You knew Alabama was going to score, but they were doing just simply whatever they wanted to all game long, and Tennessee couldn't do a dang thing about it. And so that is what's upsetting for a lot of fans, obviously. You knew it was going to be a loss. You knew it was most likely going to be a blowout loss, but it still was ugly as well.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Do you believe the gap is closing between Tennessee and Alabama? Not only that, start bench cut, and the Vols now have reached the open date. And the performance by Jarrett Guarantano needs to be put under the magnifying glass. Did we see number two make his final start in a Tennessee uniform? Or is the stay of execution extended to Fayetteville 2 weeks from now when the Volunteers head out to Arkansas to take on Felipe Franks and likely a head coach who's already locked up SEC Coach of the Year honors in Sam Pittman? 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Twitter is 100% factual.
True.
And it's 100% the letter of the law. Like, why even have a jury in a courtroom when we can just have a jury on Twitter and they decide via the poll option of Twitter whether or not somebody should be live, executed, or set free?
I will stand by it, and I look forward to the findings of your results Friday night when you go to Market Square and you find 10 random people and you ask them where Ben Roethlisberger went to college. And I look forward to hearing those results back. I'll stand by it. 2 tops out of 10, probably just 1.
apparently people heard that I was going to Market Square Friday night. They were like, cool, you picking up a tab or what's going on? I'm there for show prep and research. Thank you very much. So you know what that means. I'll just put it on the company credit card. I hope Ken Salyer heard me say that. 1-866-656-9900. Kaner Ford Momentum. This is Start Pitch Cut here on a Monday TSL.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty. Locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market. Where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, Tyler. Who's the starting quarterback for the Vols when they play Arkansas? Jared Garantano, Brian Maurer, or Harrison Bailey?
I'm going to start Jared Garantano. I'm going to bench Brian Maurer. I'm going to cut Harrison Bailey. For every person out there who is screaming youth movement, they are the same fans that were screaming youth movement last year after the Alabama game. And what happened? Tennessee, they come out, tear off wins the rest of the way, even through Indiana and the come-from-behind victory in Jacksonville. They were bragging about the second longest winning streak in college football going into the Georgia game. It was a pride thing. It was a badge of honor thing. Just, we're not there yet. Tennessee fans, the program's not there yet. All right? Figure some things out during the open date. Go get you a dub against Arkansas. Go get you a dub against Auburn or an A&M. Mix things up with Vandy. The season can be turned around. But it's all painful because of the last 10 quarters of what's happened since the goal line stance in Athens.
Yeah, so I mean, I do believe this quarterback competition will be opened up completely during this off week, and why not? I think Garantano played well on Saturday. Wasn't the reason Tennessee lost, but you still can't forget about the six quarters prior to that game. So I think it'll be open. We'll have to see who practices the best, because whoever practices the best is who's going to play, and so far it's always been Garantano. So for that reason alone, I will start Garantano. And really, I'll bench Maurer and I'll cut Bailey, because, again, whoever practices the best, apparently last week it was Maurer over Bailey. So for that reason, I'll just go on that and I'll start Garantano, bench Maurer, and I'll cut Bailey. Which of the following happens first? Steelers lose their first game. Jets win their first game. Vols win their next game. Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, I like this one a lot. Well, the Jets have got the Chiefs this weekend, so that's not happening. And Pittsburgh is going to Baltimore this week. I shouldn't say going. I don't remember where they are, but they're playing Baltimore. So this is a good one. I'm going to start Steelers lose their next one. They're going to lose the ball. They can play this game at the YMCA down the road. They can play this at the Boys and Girls Club. And Baltimore is going to beat Pittsburgh. I'm going to start Pittsburgh loses. I'm going to bench the Vols win, and I'm going to cut the Jets win. The Jets have got a tough schedule the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I still believe they're going 0-16. It's happening. So they're definitely the cut there.
I will. Man, this is tough. I'll probably go the same order, to be honest. I'll probably start Steelers lose. Because, I mean, Kansas City's Kansas City. Self-explanatory. I'll probably bench the Vols win their next game.
You should.
And then I'll cut. Yeah, the same order as you. Yeah, then I'll cut the Jets win their first game. Yeah, that's the order. Most surprising loss this weekend. Indiana knocking off Penn State. Rutgers beating Michigan State. Wake Forest over Virginia Tech.
You start the Indiana victory over Penn State. Penn State was supposed to be the big lone challenger to Ohio State in the East. You might want to reconsider that after Michigan's thumping of Minnesota. Just the way they did it, and you can call it purely coincidental. I believe football has a funny way of making things happen or things standing out. But do you remember when Tyson Helton told Michael Penix, essentially, it's fine, we're moving on, we don't need your commitment anymore?
Yep.
Michael Penix was crying. Like, Michael Penix Jr. committed to Tennessee, and when the Vols are like, yeah, we'll let you out of your scholarship, we're going to go in a different direction. This guy was supposed to be a Vol. He was in tears when he didn't come to Tennessee. Goes to Indiana. Pulls off an amazing victory for the Hoosiers. The Stones to go for it in 2 in overtime. Just everything about that game. Good for Michael Penix. Indiana. Penn State right now likely going to start 0-2 because they have to take on Ohio State next weekend. You start that matchup, Hoosiers and Lightning, or Nittany Lions. I'm going to bench the Rutgers, Michigan State. I know some people had a bad taste in their mouth watching Greg Schiano help Rutgers in that losing streak. I'm going to bench Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, because I know Tech is always supposed to be taking the next step with Justin Fuente, but Dave Clawson always has his team ready for these big matchups. They're not going to go out there and shock the world and win the ACC. But anybody who's taking Wake Forest lightly, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, carbon copy. You got to go in that order. I'd start Indiana knocking off Penn State. I'd bench Rutgers over Michigan State. And then I would cut Wake Forest over Va Tech. Moving on, today is Seth MacFarlane's 47th birthday. Best Family Guy character, Stewie, Brian, or Peter?
That order. You start Stewie just because of all the things he does, all the cute, quick quips of just the intelligent baby character.
Nothing
always
cute
funny
about the character of Stewie Griffin.
Are you kidding me? The kid's to die for. Just because his head's shaped like a football. I'm going to bitch Brian because who doesn't love a martini drink foul-mouthed dog? And
jeez.
Peter's just Peter.
Dude, I mean, for someone to love the show like yourself, I mean, this is the second horrible take you've had this morning going back to our Ben Roethlisberger conversation. How are you cutting Peter?
Easy.
I mean, the guy works at a brewery
and
also a toy factory, let's not forget.
Okay, but he's always going back. And why do we always have to go back in the past? I like it when Stewie and Brian go into the future.
Well, there's an episode about that. I see what
Pick
you did.
Pick up my poop, Brian.
Give me my money. You start Peter, 10 out of 10. I mean, he is the show. He is the show. You bench Stewie because his, you know, world domination, take over the world, all that stuff. You cut Brian. Brian's character, it's good, but it's also annoying. He's also very annoying, so
sure.
I would cut him as well. Last one. Best team, or second to last one. Best team in the NFL, Seahawks, Steelers, or Chiefs? Notice start. I left off a certain team in Tampa Bay.
That's fine. I'm going to start Tampa Bay.
No, Tampa Bay's not in here.
Oh, no, they're not. So no. You put the – oh, yeah, I'm starting the Chiefs. I'm bitching the Steelers. I'm cutting the Seahawks. That's difficult for me to do because Seattle was undefeated and probably should have been undefeated after last night. A couple miscues. Russ Wilson is your likely MVP. You can't say no to a Pittsburgh team who just knocked off Tennessee. Kansas City, despite their one loss in a shootout with Vegas, is still the best team in the NFL. So that's the order you have to go with.
I want to take the Steelers over the Chiefs, but I'm not going to. I mean, you can never count out that offense, especially with Pat Mahomes. So I'll start the Chiefs. I'll bench the Steelers as well because the Steelers are well-rounded. They play great, great on both sides of the football, not just carrying one side or the other like that Tennessee team. And then I'll cut Seattle, even though I think Seattle is a fantastic team and should still be undefeated. Last one. This is probably easy, but I'm going to ask it. Excluding Lamar Jackson, start bench cut these 2018 NFL draft class QBs. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen.
You're starting Josh Allen, you're benching Baker, and you're cutting Darnold.
Yeah, it is, but I want to hear you explain it, yeah.
Because Josh Allen is everything we thought he was going to be, and he is going to be the everything we thought he was going to be for many years in Buffalo. They finally have an answer after Jim Kelly at quarterback for that team. You're benching Baker Mayfield because they're at least finding success since drafting Baker. He threw 5 touchdowns yesterday. Good for Baker. It looks like that they're finally getting everything right with the hire of Kevin Stefanski. And Sam Darnold has a chance to be better than both of those guys, but he's been drafted by a team that is not building around him. They're doing the complete opposite. They're spending money on pieces that don't add up to successful seasons. So Darnold, he's going to be traded after this year because the Jets will want to draft Trevor Lawrence. He'll go somewhere. He'll sit behind a guy for 18 to 24 months, and then Sam Darnold will flourish in that position, much like you've seen with Ryan Tannehill in Nashville. Get him the heck away from Adam Gase as quickly as possible and hope that the new regime comes in and actually does the right thing and builds around Trevor Lawrence.
All right, so 2 years into it, it's start Josh Allen, bench Baker Mayfield, cut Sam Darnold. Let's come out following that draft. Start bench cut these guys out of college in their prospectus towards the NFL career. Is it start Sam Darnold, bench Baker, cut Josh Allen?
Are you
starting Baker?
No, that order. No. You start order. In that order, you start Sam Darnold because everybody was questioning why Baker would have gone ahead of Darnold. And if you go back and watch, everybody was just like, finally the Jets. Somebody did something ridiculous. Because what they were doing was they were complimenting what the Jets had done the last 2 drafts. How in goodness gracious could you let Jamal Adams fall to 4 to the New York Jets? Goodness gracious, you needed a quarterback and you took Baker when Sam Darnold was clearly the best quarterback. They've already traded Adams. Darnold has not been able to stay healthy because the offensive line has been pieced together by duct tape and bubble gum. So Josh Allen, because he just went at Wyoming, And when people thought, hey, this guy's just going to be like Joe Flacco, a no-name school nobody's familiar with, and might win you a couple games. Well, he's winning you more than a couple games, and the guy is just flat-out showing that he does not need that learning curve before he starts becoming good. Heritage Realty, a big thank you out to Heritage Realty for what they do for us. A boutique brokerage focusing on the needs of you, the customer, rental properties, so much more. Go check out what they can do for you online at heritagerealtyknox.com. 846, Kaner, send us home, bring us back. We'll talk Pruitt, Tennessee, get you ready for the Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Well, the Tennessee Titans once trailed by 20 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second half, rattled off 17 unanswered before Stephen Gostkowski had a chance to send the game to overtime. Here's Mike Key.
Snap, set, kick on the way. No good. No good. He missed it wide to the right.
Following that miss, the Steelers held on to move to 6-0, a 27-24 win over the Titans, who fell for the first time this season. Ryan Tannehill, two touchdowns in a losing effort. Sunday Night Football, it was a good one. The Cardinals hand the Seahawks their first loss of the year, 37-34 in overtime, thanks to this Zane Gonzalez 48-yard field goal.
20 seconds to go. Snap. Ball is down. Kick from Gonzalez is up. It looks good. It is good! The Cardinals win it! An incredible finish at State Farm Stadium!
Ryan Radke on the call, Cardinals radio. Kyler Murray, three touchdowns in the win. Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett linked up for three touchdowns together, but it's all in a losing effort. The new AP Top 25 has a little bit of a shakeup in the top 10. You have Clemson and Alabama up top. Ohio State jumped two spots to number three. Notre Dame and Georgia slipped to 4 and 5. From there, it's Okie State, Cincinnati, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, and Florida rounding out the top 10. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 848, Pete Michaels Traffic is coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Change my attempt. Good intentions.
Time for us to say goodbye here on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane, about to make way for Brian Rice and the Eric Gaines Show. Kaner, tomorrow we need to talk about Jarrett Garantano and his status with the University of Tennessee. He didn't do anything to put his team in position to lose yesterday, but many people have to believe that perhaps the conservative vanilla play calling by Tennessee in the matchup against Alabama has a lot to do with the fact that Jarrett Garantano has handcuffed this program with his play leading into the Alabama contest. Plus, a lot of people asking for this to be the moment that Jeremy Pruitt go to the youth movement. 30 games into his tenure, Tennessee's head football coach is 15-15 since taking over here on the Hill. So, looking ahead, Brian Maurer, what does it mean for Harrison Bailey and the quarterback position? Plus, you got to ask yourself as well, how can Tennessee get back to establishing the run, something that has haunted them over the last, well, I would say, let's just call it what it is, six, maybe five of the last 10 quarters since that halftime goal line stance against Georgia. Let's step aside now. Kaner, solid word today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Brian, you're up next. Local programming taking you all the way to 7 o'clock here on your flagship station of the University of Tennessee. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.